Let us pray in silence to prepare hearts for the family altar. Amen. In Jesus' name, let us commence with our family altar. Sing hymn 87. Sing hymn 87.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by. When the saints and the sinners shall be parted long and left, are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming, there's a bright day coming by and by. But His brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a sad day coming, a sad day coming, there's a sad day coming by and by. When the sinner shall hear his doom depart, I know you not. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?
For our family altar, let us turn to Psalms 58. Psalms 58, a meek time of David. In Jesus' name I read Psalms 58, verse 1. Do you indeed decree what is right, you mighty lords? Do you judge the sons of men uprightly? 2. Nay, in your hearts you devise wrongs, your hands deal out violence on earth. 3. The wicked go astray from the womb, they err from their birth, speaking lies. 4. They have venom like the venom of a serpent, like a deaf adder that stops its ear. 5. So that it does not hear the voice of the charmers or of the cunning or the skillful enchanter. 6. O God, break the teeth in their mouth. Tear out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord. 7. Let them vanish like waters that run away. Bend his bow, let his arrow be as if cut in pieces. 8. Let them be like the snail which dissolve into slime, like the untimely birth that never sees the sun. 9. Sooner than your pots can feel the heat of thorns, whether green or ablaze, may he sweep them away. 10. The righteous will rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He will bathe his feet in the blood of the wicked. 11. Man will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely there is a God who judges on earth. Psalm 58, as in the superscription, to the choir master, according to Do Not Destroy, a miktam of David. If we turn to Psalms 57, Psalms 57, the superscription or the topic given is the same. To the choir master, according to Do Not Destroy, a miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. So Psalm 57 and Psalm 58, it is a psalm of David. It also relates to the matter of Saul. According to Do Not Destroy, it tells us about the tune of the psalm or the song. We are not very sure what is the theme, the tune, but here says Do Not Destroy. And a miktam. A miktam, it is a golden, an excellent, or a prominent psalms. It is a choice piece. So Psalm 58, if it relates to Saul, if the story continues, then it tells us about those who are judges, those who are counselors in the palace, or those who serve under King Saul. At that time, because they wanted to please King Saul, so whatever judgment, whatever words that they say, it is in favor of King Saul. Alright, so Psalm 58 tells us about the matter concerning the judges, the rulers, or the counselors. As in verse 1 says, do you indeed decree what is right, you mighty lords, or some says gods. In actuality, it refers to the judges and the counselors. But yet, there is a comparison in chapter 58. Verse 1 tells us about human judges, those who serve under King Saul. But in verse 11, the last statement, surely there is a God who judges on earth. Now there is a comparison. It tells us about God. We know who will be the judge, but he is a righteous judge. Alright, so Psalm 58 tells us about this matter in relation to the judges and the counselors. Psalm 58, we can divide into two parts. The first part, from verse 1 to 9. Verses 1 to 9, it tells us about these judges and counselors. And we can divide into two parts. Subsection, verses 1 to 5, about their wrongdoings, their sins. And 6 to 9, it tells us about their judgment or about their end of their work. This is first part, from 1 down to 9. And the second part, 10 and 11, it tells us about the outcome. The outcome. Alright, now let us run through the first part. First part tells us about the condition of the judges and the counselors. Verse 1 to 5, it tells us about their sins. Verse 1, do you indeed decree what is right, you gods or mighty lords? Do you judge the son of man uprightly? The key word here is right. Do you decree what is right? Do you judge the son of man uprightly? It tells us about what is right and what is uprightly. There is a question. Do you indeed do this, the human judges? So the answer, verse 2, nay, no, in your hearts you devise wrongs, means they walk in unrighteousness, in injustice. Your hands deals out violence on earth. This is fearful. Where the place of justice, there is now injustice. There is unrighteousness. There is wrongdoing. Why? In favor of men to please those who are above them. This was the problem. And verse 2 tells us, in your hearts. It always begin inwardly from the heart, then it will be manifested. Your hands deals out violence. Let us refer to Mark 7. Mark chapter 7, 20 to 23. Mark chapter 7, 20 to 23. And he said, what comes out of a man is what defiles a man. Because what comes out tells us the inner condition of man. In verse 21, for from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. Altogether, 13 points, 13 matters that relates to the inward, to what is within, out of the heart of man. This is fearful. Verse 23, all these evil things come out from within. They defile a man. So take note, it is always from within a man, from the heart. Let us be vigilant. Let us be very careful about the condition of our heart. Because there flow the spring of life. Thus, at the time, these human judges and counselors, they did not walk in righteousness. They did not do what is right. They do not uphold uprightness. So therefore, they sin. They sin against God. Psalm 58, verse 3. It tells us about their condition. Verse 3. The wicked go astray from the womb. They err from birth. This is a psalm. It is a description. Tells us the extent, even the extent here likened to from birth, in from the womb. But the main stress here, the wicked go astray. They went astray. They err. In which area? In their words. Because it relates to their judgment. Speaking lies. 4 and 5 now describe to us. They have venom like the venom of a serpent. Let us turn to Psalms 140. Psalms 140, verse 3. Psalms 140, verse 3. Verse 3. They make their tongue sharp as a serpent's, and under their lips is the poison of vipers. It tells us about their tongue. It tells us about their words. It is as sharp as a serpent's, and their lips is poison of viper. Let's turn back, Psalm 58, verse 4. They have venom like venom of a serpent. It tells about their words, their slander. Then verse 4, lower portion. Like the death adder that stopped its ear, so that it does not hear the voice of charmers or the skillful enchanters. Means to what extent? They are not able to be charmed. They are not able to be tamed. So their lips, their mouth, their words, it is destructive as poison. There is no restraint in them. So this is their sin. They give wrong judgment, speaking lies. Likened to the case of Stephen. We need not read in Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, 11 to 14. It tells us about the Jews, those who were very jealous of Stephen, because they were not able to go against the wisdom, the truth that he spoke forth. Therefore, at the time, they had false words. They brought forth false witnesses against Stephen. These are their works. Likened to at the time where David was in. Second part, the second subpart about the judges and the counselors. Let's turn back, Psalm 58:6-9. 6-9 tells us about their judgment. Verse 6, O God, break the teeth in their mouth, tear out the fangs of the young lions. The young lions, O Lord. Young lions, we know that they are very fierce, very violent. Because they are young, they need food. Alright, so they devour. They are very bloodthirsty. David says, O God, now this was his prayer. O God, break the teeth of their mouth. Tear out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord. Means it tells us, if their teeth is broken, means what? Their powers, they are not able now to bring harm. They are rendered harmless. So this was David's prayer, that they will be harmless, break their teeth. Verse 7, let them vanish like waters that runs away. We know water, it is very powerful when there is a huge amount of water, just likened to flood water, very destructive. And we know even tsunami. But verse 7 says, let them vanish like water that runs away. So there is now the water dry up, likened to in a desert, or suddenly the water disappear into the ground. Means also same, let the wicked, they vanish away, but also their destructive power no more. Lower portion, verse 7. When he bends his bow, let his arrow be as if cut in pieces. Means what? Not able to penetrate, not able to wound, not able to harm or to kill. These are the arrows of the enemies of David, those who sided King Saul. So let their arrows, some Bible says, let it be blunt, so not able to harm. Verse 8, let them be like the snail which dissolve into slime. It relates to the trail, to the slimy trail that the snail left. So let it dissolve, means their pathway, like the untimely birth that never sees the sun. In the end, let whatever they do come to an end. Their path no longer there, no life in them. Verse 9. Sooner than your pots can feel the heat of thorns. It tells us these thorns, it is used as firewood. And these thorns, according to some, it burns very quickly and with an intense heat. But here says, sooner than your pots can feel the heat of thorns, whether green or ablaze, or whether raw or cooked, may he sweep them away. Means their evil plans, whether raw or already cooked, or their ways. Here says in the end, may he sweep them away, the whirlwind from God blow them away. 6-9 tells us about the end of their evil works, about judgment. Alright, this first part, verses 1-9, it tells us about their wrongdoings, their sins, especially in their words, in the judgment that they give, and about the end of their evil work, about judgment. Second part, Second part tells us about the outcome. It tells us about two groups and two reactions. Verse 10, the righteous. It tells, firstly, the righteous. The righteous will rejoice when he sees vengeance, means when justice will be served. He will bathe his feet in the blood of the wicked. It means because God's judgment will come, at the time it was physical, there will be a great slaughter. When we say a great slaughter, means there will be blood everywhere. So to the extent, he bathed his feet in the blood of the wicked, where God will punish them. So the first one, the righteous, they will rejoice because they are able to see now justice being served. Verse 11, the second group, men. Men will say, these are observers, outsiders. Men will say, surely there is reward or fruit for the righteous. Now they will understand. Definitely there will be fruit. There will be reward for the righteous. Let's refer to Isaiah 3. Isaiah chapter 3 verse 10. Isaiah chapter 3 verse 10. Verse 10. Tell the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their deed. Definitely, righteous will be well. So now they are able to see this. They see God's righteous judgment. In the lower portion, Psalm 58 verse 11. Surely there is a God who judges on earth. He will give forth righteous judgment. And when the people of the world, when men see this, now they are motivated. They know surely there is fruit or reward for the righteous. So they will be motivated, encouraged to walk in righteousness. So there is now a conclusion. Even though human courts, the judges, the counselors, they do not give upright, right judgment. They fear men. They can be bought. They will cite men to please men for their own benefit, for their own position. Just likened to the time when the judges, the counselors undersaw, they gave wrong judgment. But yet we know God, the righteous judge, he will act. All right. In Psalms 82, let us quickly read this. Psalms 82, 1 to 4. Psalms 82, 1 to 4. 82, 1 to 4. God has taken his place in divine counsel. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. Means in the midst of the lords, the judges, the counselors, he holds judgment. Verse 2. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Now the case was brought forth by God, who is the heavenly judge in the divine counsel. Now even earthly judges, the counselors, they will be judged by God. Verse 2, God says, how long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to wicked? Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. God judges the unrighteous judge, and God will rebuke them. So today, let us take note. Let us hold firm to righteousness. Let us not, because in fear of man, in favor of man, to keep our position, then we give forth bad or wrong, not upright words. Then this is not good. May the Lord help us so that we're able to lead a righteous life in this so-called injustice society. May the Lord help us. Let's continue to pray for everyone, to pray for the situation. In Jesus' name, let us pray. Hallelujah. Listen, praise the Lord, 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 praise the Lord, Jesus Christ, the Lord, 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 give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank the Lord Jesus, our family author ends here. May the Lord bless and guide, and the peace of the Lord be with us.